this morning's gospel takes us back into the issue of money and inheritances and storing up treasures. Before we get into that, I'd like to just mention a couple of things that I think prepare us for the lesson. The first thing that came to me was, the operator of our live stream came and told me the computer won't turn on. So I don't know if anyone in the Lopez family was planning to watch online, but they can't because the live stream is not working. It's just a sign to us that earthly things just don't last. So sometimes it's the battery, sometimes it's the wires, sometimes it's the internet connection, sometimes it's... Anyway, this time it's the computer. So that's the way it is with earthly things. We can't put our security in things that just don't last. That's one thing. It prepares us for this gospel. But then the other thing is, we have before us the remains of our sister Mary. She died 40 days ago, and we're honoring her and respecting the 40-day tradition. She lived to be 100 years old. But then her life came to an end, and she moved on to the next life. It's another sign to us, even if you live to be 100, life here just doesn't last. Things of this world don't last, and we ourselves don't last. It might sound like a terrible thing, but that's actually a good thing, because who would want to stay here forever? I don't think Mary would want to stay here forever. She'd rather go to heaven, rather go to be with God. So that, I think, gives some perspective for this topic about money. Now, in today's gospel, someone approaches Jesus and asks him to help him out with getting the just share of the inheritance, which, that's a legitimate request. I'm sure you know that this is one of the sad things about the human family, that when someone dies, those who receive the inheritance often squabble over the inheritance. It's so common a problem, a very sad problem in families. But notice Jesus backs off from it. He says, as if to say, don't get me involved in that stuff. Who made me your judge and arbitrator? It doesn't mean that it's not the right thing to do. He's not against justice, but what he's saying is, this is only of relative value. Even if you do get perfect financial justice, even if everybody gets what they deserve, it's not going to last. It's not that important. So rather than make a financial arrangement the top goal of your life, better to think about eternal life. And then he tells the parable about the rich fool. He's rich, but he's foolish because he puts all his trust in his riches. I find this very striking that this gospel comes right after yesterday's gospel, which was about paying of taxes. It gives us an opportunity to reflect on what Jesus says and teaches and about money and his whole attitude toward money. There aren't any passages where Jesus is buying things or selling things. He's not a businessman. But he certainly knows about money. He talks about money pretty regularly. He uses it as a way of understanding what relative value. Remember the parable of the treasure in the field? It's buy that field. Sell everything you've got, buy the field. Sell everything you have, buy the pearl. He knows about relative values and about buying and selling. He knows the value of sparrows. Just came up a couple of days ago. You can buy a couple of sparrows for a few pennies, and you're worth more than that. So he uses money, and then we know he doesn't have great attachment to money, because when he went into the temple and he saw the money changers, he turned over the money changers' tables. Like, get this out of here. Get this out of the house of God. He's not against money changers. He's against putting money above God. So we know that. Anyway, in yesterday's gospel, they ask him about taxes, and he says, well, show me the money. Show me the coin. And they give him a coin. It's the only time in the gospels where Jesus is actually holding money in his hands, as far as I know. He's holding the money, and he says, well, look at the money. What is this? Who is this? What's the inscription? And they say, well, that's Caesar, and the inscription is Caesar. So he's saying, well, the money itself tells you the level on which it is of importance. It doesn't say anything about heaven. or about the authority of God. Now, the funny thing about that is, in the case of Caesar and the Roman government, they didn't say anything about God. But money now does say something about God. I picked up a little bit of Filipino currency, itong limang pung piso. And of course, I looked at it because that's what Jesus said. Look at the money. What does it say in there? Republika ng Pilipinas. You can always learn a lot by looking at money. Maybe when you were children, you did this. I did this as a child. You look at the money. In the United States, it always says, "In God we trust." It's one of the expressions on American money. But there's always some heroes or some symbols. Here's a Sergio Osmeña. Sergio, okay, so I don't even know how to pronounce his name, but he's a hero from World War II. Was he killed by the? First president. Anyway, he's a president. He's an important figure in Philippine civic life. He was a president. So there's Sergio Osmeña. And then, if you look at the fine print, all the different signatures and everything, but then there's this expression I never noticed before. No one ever told me this. Pinagpala ang bayan na ang Diyos ay ang Panginoon. It's a scripture verse. Do you know that? Everybody knows it. Okay, well, I'm the only one who didn't know it. And no one ever told me that there's a scripture verse from the Psalms on the Filipino money. It's on all the money. Pinagpala ang bayan na ang Diyos ay ang Panginoon. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. That's a lot better than "In God we trust." It comes right from the scriptures. It talks about being blessed to be under the authority of God. So that's quite a striking thing to put. I don't know any other country that has scripture verses on its money. Maybe that would be an interesting study if anyone wants to do a little research project on money. But the point of Jesus yesterday was, there is a place for money, there's a place for Caesar, and then there's a place for God. You know, so give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, give to God what belongs to God. Or actually the Greek term was not just give, but give back. Repay to Caesar. Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and render unto God, or give back to God what belongs to God. That's respect for the proper authority. Okay, now with that in mind, we turn to this parable where the rich man collects up a huge amount of, well, goods, but equivalent of money, is a big harvest. And he says to himself, "Well, now you have all you need for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry." That's what people who have less money think that people with more money will do. People always think, if I had more money, I would rest, eat, drink, and be merry. But if you know people with a lot of money, they don't always rest, eat, drink, and be merry, because they get so caught up taking care of their money, they sometimes live with greater anxiety than the poor do. People who don't have excess money, and most people don't. I mean, most people don't have so much money that they can just relax for the rest of their lives. But they think that if they did, they would. But it doesn't happen that way. Money tends to take a bigger role in people's lives than it should have. That's why Jesus identifies this rich man as a fool, because he's so focused on preserving his money, even though he thinks he'll be able to enjoy it for the rest of his life. He dies that very night, and then what happens? What happens to the money? Well, someone else gets it. And what happens to the man? Well, he hasn't become rich in what matters to God. So it's one thing to render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. That's a necessity and a requirement of life in this world. But when we die, we don't pay any more taxes. When we die, we don't save up any more things of this world. So as everyone knows that when we die, we don't take with us any physical possessions or any financial blessings. We leave everything behind. So the important thing is, it's very clear from the parable here, being rich in what matters to God, not being storing up treasure in this world. That's what's much more important. Money has its place, right? Has its place. There's some fish on the back of this money. I don't know what this is. There's some fish. And then there's Ta'al volcano. I can't read it. Anyway, it's a very small print. But you can see the very important, the most important thing on the money, Limampu. the biggest print is the 50. Okay. But that's as much as it's worth. I'm not going to take this to heaven with me. What does it mean to be rich in what matters to God? Well, this is where we can learn from today's first reading and the example of Abraham. To be rich in what matters to God, we have to have faith. We have to have some openness to the authority and the goodness of God on our behalf. We have to trust in God. I think that's why the Americans put on their money, "In God we trust." And why the Filipinos will put on the money here, "Pinagpala ang bayan." So, in other words, if you really want to be blessed, if you really want to trust in something, don't put your trust in money. If you want a blessing, don't expect the blessing to be the money. The blessing comes from God. In God we trust. Just a little side, I think I told this before, and there's a little expression in stores in the States. I've seen this like in a gas station or a little convenience store, a sign, big sign, "In God we trust." In God we trust, and then in the small print, "All others pay cash." So don't extend credit to anyone but to God. So we trust in God. Okay, we don't trust you. Anyway, we'll go to Abraham here. Abraham's greatness is not that he has a lot of money. As it turns out, he did amass quite a bit. But that's just incidental. It's just a sign of being blessed by God. His real greatness is his faith. He trusted that God could do something that no one could do, that he could even overcome death. He was convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to do. And Abraham journeyed in faith. He lived by faith. He, in a certain sense, already possessed what had been promised to him, even though he didn't see it yet. And that's rich. That's richness. To be able to live with confidence in the promise of God, even though we don't yet see it fulfilled. And we don't see it in this world. I mean, we see a lot of blessings in this world, but we don't see eternal life. We don't see eternal glory. We don't see God face to face in this life. But with faith, we say, "Oh no, we do belong to God. We do have our citizenship in heaven. We do have a treasure in the spirit. We do look forward to our inheritance, not inheritance what we might get from someone who dies, but our inheritance in the next life." And that's what it means to be rich in what matters to God. To have that confidence in the goodness and the mercy of God. Confidence in God's ability to and determination to fulfill his promises. That's faith, and that's richness. So I think these readings, and even I think the life and the death of our sister Mary, point to this truth. Let's put our trust in God. Blessed is the people whose God is the Lord, not whose God is money or any physical possessions or technological achievements. Blessed, no, pinagpala ang bayan na ang Diyos ay ang Panginoon. Salamat sa Diyos.